In a few weeks' time, the U.S. will enter the 20th year of war in Afghanistan. When the U.S. invaded after 9/11, nearly 3,600 American troops have since died there, and hundreds of thousands of Afghans. But for the preceding 20 years, Afghans had also been at war with the Soviets and then themselves. Now, in the capital of Qatar, the first talks between the Afghan government and Taliban insurgents have begun, midwifed by the U.S., and with them, the first flickers of hope for an end to war. Here's Nick Schifrin.
Every war must end, and if the Afghan war ends soon, the beginning of the end will be this conference room. On one side, Afghanistan's democratically elected government. On the other, leaders of the violent insurgency, the Taliban, both expressed hope.
Negotiations may have problems, but we hope that the discussions should move forward with patience.
My delegation and I have come to Doha to figure out a process to close the gates of war and pain forever.
Last weekend's relatively warm words were a good sign for two sides who've been fighting to determine Afghanistan's future for two decades.
The fundamental question on the table for negotiation is, what is the Afghan state going to look like?
Laurel Miller is the International Crisis Group's Senior Director for Asia. She says before that core question can be answered, the two sides have to negotiate how they'll negotiate.
What the rules of procedure, so to speak, will be for the process. The next step will be to agree on what the agenda will be.
The Afghan government wants that agenda to begin with a ceasefire. The government says 1,200 people have been killed and 15,000 wounded in just the last 6 months.
A ceasefire, an immediate ceasefire, silencing the guns, is what our people want.
Nader Nadiri is a member of the government's negotiation team and a senior advisor to the Afghan president. He spoke to us from Doha.
Afghans across this country deserve to be heard, and they actually deserve a peaceful life free of violence.
But violence is the Taliban's leverage, and the Taliban won't agree to a ceasefire before agreeing on a new government that includes them, spokesman Mohammad Naeem told Afghanistan's Tolo News.
It does not make sense to end 20 years of war in 1 hour. From our perspective, it would be logical to discuss the main aspects of the problems and then finalize a ceasefire so the problem is resolved permanently.
But what kind of government does the Taliban want? In the 90s, they ruled Afghanistan, claiming their version of Islamic law with austerity, brutality, and subjugation of women and minorities. Today, Afghanistan's parliament has a higher percentage of women than the U.S. Congress. And more than 3 million girls are in school. The Taliban recently suggested they could allow female education and politicians, but no female chief justice or president.
That's not acceptable to Afghan women at all, to Afghans in general. It's not acceptable to me, for my daughters.
In Washington, there's bipartisan worry that talks will erode human rights. Just yesterday, Foreign Affairs Committee leaders Democrat Elliot Engel and Republican Mike McCaul wrote a letter urging any deal to prioritize women's empowerment. But the administration has made clear its priority is withdrawal.
But it's time, after all these years, to go and to bring our people back home.
The U.S. is reducing forces to 4,500 by November and has agreed to withdraw all U.S. service members by next April if the Taliban doesn't harbor al-Qaeda and continues negotiations. Critics have called that deal a rush to the exits that weakened a fragile Afghan government. The government had to release 5,000 Taliban prisoners, some responsible for horrific attacks against Afghans and the deaths of U.S. troops.
We're not happy about that, But sometimes, you have to make the hard decisions.
The lead American negotiator has been Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad. He suggested the U.S. wants negotiators to achieve quick progress by adopting a roadmap. The Afghan government worries that roadmap might force it to create a weak interim government without them.
You can agree on a set of principles for governance that are your building blocks for that future agreement. But that's different than say, just simply hand away power to some kind of interim government with a very minimalist roadmap agreement. Roadmap to where? Unknown.
Afghans are concerned President Trump will push for a hasty deal before Election Day.
We need to have patience and therefore to carefully proceed through it, to not follow certain short timelines and deadlines.
But after the U.S.'s longest war reached its 20th year, the military, the administration, and the U.S. public support a deal even if it means some Taliban control.
What it would mean is the most explicit acknowledgement yet that the U.S. did not win the war in Afghanistan. The Taliban was sufficiently successful to compel the U.S. to make significant concessions to that group.
This week, Afghans remembered their family members killed by the Taliban. Ma Jan lost her son.
I can only forgive if I witness lasting peace.
In a land that has known little peace or forgiveness, there is desperate hope for both. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.